Nice to see everyone this morning. This is, we say Happy Valentine's Day. And some people call it Sweethearts Day. Sweethearts Day. And we see quite a few people here today who are married. And there, of course, there's a young group here who are not married, but someday they probably will be. Do you know what? You will have a partner, won't you? And what today we're going to look at, two things we're going to look at today is God is light and God is love. This is a day of love in a lot of cases. And like John has mentioned, this is our anniversary. 6 o'clock tonight, 1975, Friday at 6 o'clock, we were married. So 6 o'clock tonight, we'll be married for, already, you fellows are figuring out already, 41 years. 41 years with the same woman, and she's 41 years with the same man. When you get married, you become the man of the house. I'm still the man of the house. In fact, I'm her houseboy now. Isn't that amazing how things work out? I'm her houseboy. She has a honey-do list, and I do it. But you know what? Once we get married, first of all, what happens when a person gets married? We are attracted one to another, right? Attracted one to another. So way back in those years, before I got married, we were attracted one to another. And everyone else here who was married was, one time, they were attracted to someone. Something about that person interested them. Not only their beauty, physical beauty, but something inside, something about that person that was they were attracted to. You know what? If you're here this morning and you are saved, you are part of the bride of Christ. Do you know that? It's also in the Word of God, is mentioned as the body of Christ, a building, and the church. But you're part of the bride of Christ. And let me ask you who are married, how do you treat your spouse? Be something if I get up this morning and I didn't speak to my wife, she didn't speak to me. I didn't say last night before we laid down, before we went to bed, I love you, or I didn't say that again today. Now, if you're part of the bride of Christ, how do you treat Christ? Do you ever think about that? Because in a relationship, in a marriage, there's respect, isn't there? There is some reverence, isn't there? There is love. There is communication, like we were just talking about. Communication. There's trust. There's enjoyment. And we love to spend time with one another. Now put that in the spiritual realm. You're saved today. Saved. You're in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So how is that relationship going? How is it going? Do we trust Him? Do we enjoy Him? Do we long to spend time with Him? Do we love to communicate with Him? Do we tell Him often that we love Him? Shouldn't that be the case? It should be, shouldn't it? So this morning we're going to look at the first part, God is light, looking at those who are not saved this morning, because if you're not saved, you're not part of that bride of Christ. Let me ask you this. Did you ever hear someone who was not saved tell you that they love God, that they love the Lord Jesus Christ? Not likely. Why? Because they're not in a relationship with Him. In fact, the Bible in Romans chapter 5 says that we are enemies of God. It also says in John chapter 3 that we're walking in darkness. Walking in darkness. Why? Because our deeds are evil. What we do is evil. And we hate the light. That's why man crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord was crucified. So today we're looking at God is light and God is love. And secondly, I want to mention this. We see in God's love, we see God's redemption plan in His love. And then we see man's responsible place in life. We have a responsibility. As unsaved and those of us who are saved, we have a responsibility to the Lord. And Brother Leonard spoke last week about Christian progress in 1 Peter chapter 1. And there were seven things there that we are to add to our faith. And my friends, if we're Christians today and we're not growing spiritually, what's happening to our life? And if we're not growing, then you know what's happened to our relationship? That's why John would write in the letter, speaking to the church of Ephesus, "Thou hast left thy first love." And that needs to scare you and I who are Christians, because you know what? We can get there too. We can get cold towards the Lord. We can stop speaking to Him. We can stop telling Him that we love Him. We can stop communicating to Him. We can stop trusting Him. And that's why the Word of God, in so many places, we need to grow in the things of the Lord after we're saved. Sometimes we get saved. Some people get saved and they say, "Well, that's it. You know, I'm good to go. I can go on living my life. I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven." But that's a beginning of a brand new life. Beginning of a brand new life. And it says in Ephesians, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We went over that a few months ago. We're His workmanship. He wants to develop us. He wants us to grow in our Christian progress. Just like a relationship grows from year 1 to year 41. We get to know each other, don't we? You know your wife, and your wife knows you. She knows what you like. You know what she likes. You like know what she doesn't like, and all those things too, don't you? Why? Because you spent a lot of time with her. You know what? We need to spend a lot of time with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to spend time in His Word as Christians. First of all, let's turn your Bibles to the Epistle of 1 John. Epistle of 1 John. And funny why light came before love, because in this epistle we see, first of all, God is light. And then we're going to see in chapter 4, God is love. God is light, and God is love. Chapter 1 of John, the epistle of 1 John, reading in at verse 5. And of course, the whole theme of this chapter is fellowship. Fellowship, again, is partnership, isn't it? And if you're in a relationship with your wife, you are in a partnership with her. A relationship. You have things in common. That's what the word fellowship means. And so we see reading in here at verse 5, "This then," John is the writer, of course, the one who wrote the Gospel of John and now the Epistle of John. He says this, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and declare unto you and God, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." And the light that we're speaking about here speaks about God's absolutely holy. He's absolutely righteous. He's absolutely pure. When you turn on a light in a dark room, it exposes everything. It's transparency. And that's how your life and my life should be before the Lord. He is holy. He is absolutely light. Leonard was speaking about that a little bit this morning in the breaking of bread. He is light. Absolutely transparent. And God cannot look with favor on any form of sin. Nothing is hidden unto Him. And we need to understand that. And it clearly says that in Hebrews. It says in Hebrews 4:13, "All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." So it says here, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, "If we say we have fellowship with Him," listen to this, "and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." My friends, that's a warning to those who say they're Christians and they are not. I didn't write that. God's Word says that. If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Look at verse 7. "But if we walk in the light in His holiness," everything is absolutely exposed to Him. We have nothing between us. He can look at our lives. He's doing that anyway, but we're saying, "Lord, You can take any part of all my life, and if there's anything there, I want You to correct it." "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, we have partnership, we have things in common with one another, with other Christians, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." That is salvation, my friend. First of all, you have to be walking in the light. You say, "Well, where do you go from that?" Go to John chapter 3 for a moment and verse 19. The Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 19. We see in verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We see that. Then we go down into verse 19, it says this. It says, "And this is the condemnation." It speaks about in verse 18 that men are condemned because of their wickedness if they haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19 says this, "And this is the condemnation." This is why people are condemned in God's sight. That light is come into the world. And if you looked in the Word of God many times, Jesus Christ is also light, because it says that in John chapter 12 and verse 46. He says this, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." The Lord Jesus Christ was the light of the world. We heard that this morning. Okay? But if you're not saved this morning, this is the condemnation. This is why you're condemned. Light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I was there for 31 years. I was walking in darkness, although I believed in God. You say, "Well, how can that be? You must have been saved." No, I was not saved. And that's why we cannot deceive ourselves. I was not saved. "Because our deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds or his works or should be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought or abiding in God." And that's what God is saying. If you walk in the light, if we come to the Lord and say, "Lord, you know what? My life, I'm pouring it out before you. I am a sinner." And we know that the way for salvation, a lot of people say, well, we have a lot of easy believism. Just believe in God. Believe in His Son. In Acts chapter 20, Paul spelled it out real plain and clear. He said, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Two steps there. And repentance always comes before faith. They go together. Repentance is a Godward change of mind, attitude, and our will. You know what that had to happen to me in 1982? I had to look at, well, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We have to not just take a quick glance at who He is and say, "Oh yeah, I believe He died for the sins of the world." We behold Him. The behold means to investigate. It means to look intently on. What is He doing on the cross? That is one of the thieves on the cross, one on either side. One of them, he heard, he saw, and he said, "You know what? This man who was hanging between me and the other thief, he's dying for my sins." That is to behold. That is to investigate. That is to say, "You know what? I want to know why he is dying." That's why Zacchaeus ran up that tree. He wanted to see who this man was called the Lord Jesus, this man who was healing all these people. He was a short little man, and he had all kinds of things, obstacles that could have said, "Oh, you know what, I'm going home. I can't see him because all this crowd's around." It said he outran the crowd. He climbed up into a tree to see who the Lord was. What about blind Bartimaeus? He was along the side of the road, and the crowd said, "Will you be quiet?" It says he called out the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Do you know what the Bible says? It says, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved." It says, "Call unto me, and I will show you great things." It says, "Come unto me." Those are all words that every one of us can understand. Man's responsibility is to come to the Lord. Man's responsibility and women's responsibility is to call unto the Lord. Man and women's responsibility is to look unto the Lord. God has done everything else for us. God's redemption plan, He has done everything for us. And you and I, as sinners, have a responsibility to come unto Him. Yes, the Spirit of God works in our lives. And the Spirit of God has a threefold work. He is to convince us or convict us, first of all, of sin. Sin, that I am a sinner. Secondly, of righteousness. My righteousness are filthy rags. I need His righteousness, and of judgment to come. Judgment. That is what we're going to come into if we're not saved. And if we are saved, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The Spirit of God, and by the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God, and the Spirit of God speaks to us, that's what happened to me. Not because I was smart. That night in 1982, the Spirit of God got a hold of me through the word of God that was proclaimed that night. And I was convinced, I was convicted of my sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And I called out to the Lord. I looked unto him. I called out to him. And I came unto the Lord. And he saved me. And that's what he'll do to you. I can't save you. I can't convince you. Only the word of God and the Spirit of God can do that. Our responsibility is to open the door. Open the door and let him in. We could go on in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know, first of all, man is unrighteous in God's sight. Where do we get that? Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man or a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Everybody's unrighteous, they're also unclean. We read that in Isaiah 64:6. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So we're unrighteous, we're unclean. What about unqualified? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We do not qualify as sinners for anything to do with God. Unqualified. Come short of the glory of God. And in this verse we just read, 1 John 1:6, we're untruthful. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's why we need to be saved. That's why we need to be walking in the light as he is in the light. That's why we have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for forgiveness. Repentance is to have a Godward change of mind. Change of mind, our wills, and our attitude towards God. And then faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the Calvary's cross. That is salvation. Repentance towards God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, or towards the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, first of all, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let's go over to John chapter 4, because we're going to spend more time on this chapter. 1 John chapter 4. That was in the first chapter of the Epistle of John, that he was light. Now in 1 Epistle chapter 4, and we're going to read in at verse 7. Epistle of John, chapter 4, reading in at verse 7. Beloved, this whole chapter is on love. And if you and I are saved, we have entered into God's love. God's love will never change. That's one of his attributes. God can love sinners, and that's why it says in Romans chapter 5, God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God is love. That will never change. You and I, as humanly speaking, our love can change. Not only that, but God's love is divine love. It's agape love, far above human love. Because a lot of times we love someone because they love us back. But if they don't love us, sometimes we can get to not like them either, right? That's not with God. God loves the unlovely. He loves the unsaved. God is love, one of his attributes. And that's why he can extend to you and I his mercy and his grace, because God is love. So let's read on here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Remember what we already said? People who are not saved will not say, I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I love him because of what he has done for me. I love him. I desire to get to know him better, because that is a relationship that is personal with you. We are part of the bride of Christ, but personally, he is basically our bridegroom, isn't he? So how should we treat him? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. There's our very words right there. God is love. In this was manifested, here is the sacrifice of that love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or atonement or the sin sacrifice that satisfied God's righteous judgment for our sins. goes on to say this, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." And he has placed that in our hearts. We see that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God, which is given unto us." So that we know that God loves us. When you're saved, you know from the very heart of hearts that God loves you. It is placed in your heart by the Spirit of God. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. You have now part of the divine nature of God right inside of you. That's why we can turn around and we can love someone else, someone we may not have loved before, because we have the love of God placed within our hearts. And he goes on to say, "And we have seen," in verse 14, "and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Isn't that interesting? "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, and he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" Some good questions, isn't there? This is a commandment, have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. A whole section, how many times do we see the word love in that section? In verse 7 and 8, we see, first of all, the source of love. God is love. That is the source of our love, our spiritual love. Okay? In verse 9 and 10, we see the sacrifice of love. We read that. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son," that is, unique Son, only one of a kind. We are called sons of God, but nothing like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. "He sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." That was the plan, that was the purpose of his redemption. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation," or the sin sacrifice that satisfied God for our sins. And then we see the standard of love in verse 11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." That's the standard of love in verse 11 and 12. Then we see the Savior of love in verse 14 and 15. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And then we see the sphere of love in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And then we see the security of love in verse 17, if you will. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." We know that we cannot be judged. Why? Because as he is, so are we in the world. In the world, you and I, we should hate evil, hate iniquity. We should be living holy lives, as we already heard that this morning. We also already know that God loves us. We are in a relationship with him, with his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are the bride of Christ. He's our bridegroom. How should we love him? Just like you would love a husband or someone would love a wife. We have trust. We have a relationship that's, we have things in common. That is the Word of God. We have the love of God, his salvation. We have communication. We communicate to him. How do we do that? By praying. How does he communicate to us? By his Word. And so preachers a lot of times will say, so how are we doing? Are we reading? Are we praying? And you know what? Sometimes we get stumble over that, because that's not the only two things God asks us to do. He asks us to read the Word of God. He asks us to study the Word of God. One of your Awana verses, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He doesn't just say reading and studying. He says, what about meditating on the word of God? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What about memorization? Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. What about sharing the word? Man should be ready with an answer. What about preaching the word? Preach the word in season and out of season. And then the hardest one in James, be not hearers of the word, but what? Doers. How about obedience to the word? Do you have an obligation to the one that you're in a relationship to? Yes, you do. So do I. I can't point fingers. I fail and fall down. But that's what God asks us to. We say we love him, but we don't communicate with him. We don't want to get to know him. We don't trust him. What kind of relationship is that? Let me give you a couple of verses. What is the commandment in the New Testament? Mark's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's a mind, will, attitude. All thy soul, your whole body, all our strength, and thy neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Anyone in around you that is in need. Someone who's in the need of the gospel, someone who's in need of other things, prayer, whatever, that is your neighbor. And it says those are the two most important commandments in the Word of God. They cover all the commandments of the Old Testament, except thou shalt keep the Sabbath. God commands, those are commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And if he's, and we're in a relationship with him, he is our bridegroom, and we are part of the bride, how should we love him? How should you love your wife? How should your wife love you? Because it's the same relationship, only it's spiritual. It's even above that. And you say, well, why are you preaching? I'm not preaching to you. I'm just sharing from the Word of God what it says. You know what it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, just comparing those two relationships? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow. That's sacrificial love. Do we love the Lord that way? Do we love the Lord that way? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, set apart, and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. How do we get clean? It's through reading the Word of God, studying it. Do you know what? A lot of times we read a whole bunch of chapters. Sometimes we read things we don't even understand. We can't get our minds around it. Do you know what an old preacher used to tell me? I used to try to come up with a message. He says, you know what, Brian? He said, you need to read that chapter at least 50 times. 50 times at least before you even start speaking on it. You know what? You take a chapter. I don't care if it's John chapter 1. And you read it 50 times. And come back to me. And I'll bet you if I ask you questions, you'll know what's going on. But you know what? There's work involved, isn't there? There's obligation, responsibility. But you know what? You'll get to know the Lord a whole lot better if we start doing that. I'm not telling you you have to go home and start reading. You do whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Because your relationship is not with me, although it is to a point. It's with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's with God. What do you want out of your Christian life is entirely up to you, between you and the Lord. But the Lord says those things. Turn to Jude, there's only one chapter. Jude 20 and 21. Look what it says here. Jude, verse 20 and verse 21. It says this, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say there? Keeping yourself in the love of God. You say, well, I'm saved. I mean, that means that, you know, I love God and everything. It says, keeping yourself in the love of God. You say, well, why does it say that? Well, what does it say in, again, back to chapter 2? See, Paul wrote 7 letters to churches. Romans, the book of Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians. Those were Paul's 7 books to the churches. He wrote 7 books to the churches. Then John also has 7 letters to the churches too. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. 7 church letters. And he starts off with Ephesus. And they are basically a whole history of the church or the bride from Pentecost right up to the present day. Read that sometime in your own, those 2 chapters. And the first one, as we were mentioned, it speaks about the Lord, the messenger. Let me read it. Chapter 2 of Revelation. It says, chapter 2 of Revelation, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, or the messenger, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. That is the Lord, by the way. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And look what it says, remember way back when you were first saved, or when you had a zeal, or you had a real passion for the Lord. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Can we slip as Christians? Yes, we can. And still be doing service for the Lord. Remember Mary and Martha. Martha was cumbered about much service. Nothing wrong with that. What did the Lord say to Martha about Mary? Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. That's what he said. And Mary hath chosen. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in his presence. Her relationship was this. She loved her master. She listened to his word. She longed to be in his presence, and she learned how to worship in John chapter 12. And we wonder what's going on in our lives. And we think sometimes we're saved and that's it, you know, everything just goes smoothly. No, we have a responsibility to make our relationship better and better. Just like my wife and I and your wife and you, whatever. Over those period of years that you're married, you don't start off and say, yes. You hear some old guy said, a woman will say, you know what, my husband never told me he loved me for years. And he will respond this way. Well, if I never told you I didn't love you, you know I love you. You know, if I didn't say I don't love you, that I don't have to tell you that I love you. Can you imagine having a relationship like that with Christ? And yet, you know what? I believe there's Christians who have a relationship like that with Christ. They may never have said, I love you, Lord. I love you because of what you've done for me. I realize the tremendous cost. And that's what the Lord wants. That's what he's speaking about here in the Word of God. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? What's the first word? Love. Love, joy, peace. You know what that forms? Christian character. Do you know what the next words are? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. That's our Christian conduct. You know what the last 3 are? Faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. That is our Christian conversation, our whole manner of living. Why does it start off with love? Like someone says, love is the lubricating oil. In a home, in a relationship, in an assembly. Love, joy, peace. That gives us a Christian character. Long-suffering, gentleness. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. That is what we show to other people, that we're Christians. That's our Christian conduct, how we act in front of other people. And then we see faith, meekness, and temperance. You know what it says about the just shall live by faith? 3 times in the Word of God, in the epistles. Galatians, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. The just, that is the righteous, those who are saved, shall live by faith. We are saved by faith, yes. But we must be living by faith, trusting in the Lord, who He is every day. And we need to have a relationship that's close and intimate. That's why we say so many times God does not have favorites, but He does have intimates. Those who want to be close to Him. Those who choose to be close to Him, like Mary and like John. The gospel, that's why He is known as the apostle or the disciple of what? Love. He's called a disciple of love. That's why all these words of love are in His epistle. Because when they were together, the disciples, and they were gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ, where was John? He was reclining on the very breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was close to. Did God say, John, I want you here? No, He didn't. John said, I want to be there. And you know what? That is up to you, where you want to be. That's up to me, where I want to be in my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God. It's our choice. It's our responsibility. And that's why at the end of chapter 3 of Revelations, after Laodicea, we see that verse, Revelation 3:20, and we use it as a gospel text. I do, and I will continue to, because it still speaks to those who are not saved, but it is written to those who are saved. And listen to what it says. I already mentioned it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And He's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to those churches, Laodicea and Ephesus and all those 7 churches. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And you'll say, well, the Lord, I'm saved anyway. I'm in His presence. And you know what? So why is that verse written? Because we get cold towards the Lord. And sometimes we don't want Him to be in part or parts of our lives. And so we see that picture. Here's the Lord standing at a person's door. Why would He be standing at the door? There shouldn't be a door there. If we're open, if we're walking in light as He is in the light, if we have a tremendous relationship with Him, why is the door there and why is it closed? And why is it that someone on the inside has to get up and open the door and say, Lord, come on in? Read this story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, on those two on the road to Emmaus. Read about what they did once He spent time with them. Remember, they were journeying on that road and they were downcast and long faces, and someone came into their presence and He was the Lord. And it says He opened the Scriptures and He expounded on them all the things of the Old Testament about Himself, concerning Himself. And then when they came to his house, he had now warmed their hearts enough that they said, come on in, come on in, come on in. He spent time with them. And He took bread and He broke it and they allowed Him to serve Him. And that's what we must allow to do. We must give the Lord permission. He will not beat us over the head. He will not make us a better Christian. We must desire that. That's our responsibility. We have to get up and open the door and say, Lord, You're welcome in my life, in every aspect of my life. Come on in. Everything is transparent. I want to walk in the light as you were in the light. I don't want there anything to be between us. I want You to have access to every room in my life. There's no door closed anywheres. And you know what? The Lord will bless us. And He'll help us to grow. And we will grow in those things that our brother Leonard was talking about. Add to your faith virtue, manliness, or moral excellence. And to virtue, knowledge. knowledge in the things of the Lord, and to knowledge temperance or self-control, patience or endurance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and guess what the last one is? Love. Wow. Love. Seven things that we are to add to our faith. And Brother Leonard done a wonderful job last week of sharing that with us. See, when we go into the Word of God, go if you have a concordance at home, look it up, open it up and open to the word love. There's pages there of love throughout the Word of God. And most of the love is speaking about God's love, His pure love, agape love, divine love, a love that never changes, a love that wants you and I to live in His brightness. Go back to that verse in Jude. It says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ." Four little words in those two verses. Mark them in the side of your Bible if you want. First of all is building up. Building up, and that's in verse 20. "My beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith." How do you do that? What were we talking about? Reading the Word of God, sharing it, being at the meetings where others are expounding it, like last week, and our Bible studies on Wednesday nights. Be there. If you have a desire to know the Lord, we should be there. It doesn't matter who's speaking. You are reading the Word of God. It's not the person, it's the Word of God. Building up yourselves. So first of all, building up. Secondly, praying up. Look what it says. It says, praying in the Holy Spirit. That is to be led by the Spirit of God when we pray based on the Word of God. And what he's saying, why he's saying praying in the Spirit of God is that we're not reading our prayer like some people you go to, they're reading it off a prayer. You're being led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God and by the will of God. So first of all, building up. Praying up, second, and thirdly, keeping up. That's the verse that we're hanging on. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Keeping that up. How do we do that? You know what? The love of God is like the sunshine, as some would say. The sun is always shining, isn't it? Always shining. But sometimes we have cloudy days, don't we? We get snowstorms, we get all those things, don't we? The sun is still always shining. And so we have something between the sun and us, don't we? We have clouds. Now we take that to a spiritual application. God's love is always shining on you and I. But sometimes there's dark days. There's downfalls. We slip and fall and there's clouds over us. And it blocks us from the love of God, from His sunshine. And there's no warmth there anymore. We get cold. Do you know why? Because it's sin in our lives that is not confessed. And we read in 1 John, if we confess our sins, that is for Christians. Because we do sin, my friends. Don't get discouraged. We do sin. We're not supposed to, but we do. But God has made provision for us. If we confess, if we name them, and we depart from them, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Remember that. Trust Him. He knows who we are. He knows what happens to us. He knows sometimes. That doesn't give us a right or a crutch to sin. But He will forgive us if we name them and depart from them. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. So we're building up, praying up, keeping up. And the last one is looking up. In that last part of that verse, it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. We heard that this morning. I believe John even mentioned it. That's what we should be looking forward to. I was watching a show, and I'll close with this, about Las Vegas the other night. And it was just absolute evil, corruption, and everything, and yet people are flocking there. There was one lady who was a prostitute. And she, in her young age, she had been abused and everything else. And she was there, and she was her whole life was bent on taking money from rich men because she hated men. Another man who had filled with arms, guns. You should have seen some of the guns he had. And his main plan was to go to Las Vegas and rob the casinos of millions of dollars. And then we see all the harlots on the streets and everything else. And one ungodly person says, you know what? It's called Sin City. And so it is, isn't it? But that's only one place, because the rest of the world is just the same. You know what? The moment we're saved, it says, He hath delivered us out of darkness and transported us, or put us into a place, into a kingdom of His dear Son. That's where you are if you're a Christian. That's why the Bible says not to love the world nor the things of the world. We are to, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where I should be. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. All those verses in the Bible, and there's many, it speaks to us that we need to live a holy life. We need to be building up. We need to be praying up. We need to be keeping up, and we need to be looking up, waiting for the Lord to take us out of this place. Yes, there's lots of enjoyment on this earth. But you know what? There's not a lot of sin. And Satan is determined to destroy your Christian character, conduct, and conversation. He is determined to do that. And we need to rely on the Lord to keep us in that way. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee for loving us. We thank Thee, Father, for the plan of salvation, that You would love us so much, even in spite of ourselves, that You would give Your very best, heaven's best, Your beloved Son, to come to this sin-cursed world where He would be despised and rejected of men, spit upon, beaten, whipped, and crucified. You would send Him that He would stand in My place and He would die for me. He would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He would say, it is finished. And Father, today, those of us who are saved, we stand on that finished work. We trust in the Lord as our hope to heaven. And Father, it's a hope that is absolutely sure, guaranteed. And Father, we pray for anyone in this meeting who is not saved, who does not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would do a work in their lives and would bring them to the place where they would see their need of a Savior, that they are sinners and lost on the way to hell. Father, we ask that You would part us with Thy blessings, take us to home and safety, bring us back again tonight, for we ask it in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.